Good morning, everyone.
I'd like to thank you for having me here, and whether you thank me, time will tell. And that is the subject of my lesson today, and you might think, well, why did he read Ecclesiastes? Well, if you look at the third chapter, it talks about a time for everything. The reason for this subject came about because when my father-in-law was in the hospital for the last time before he went home in hospice care, my wife had been at the hospital every day, and on this Thursday morning she got up and she had a migraine, and she's not common to have migraines, but on this day she said, "You have to go," which I'm not an emotional person, so she knew I could go, and whatever they said, I would be able to take it. My own father had passed away in June of 95, so I knew what losing a parent was. So as I was there and the oncologist came in and he was telling my father-in-law, he goes, "Well, we could keep doing stuff. You know, my kid's college fund needs more money." But he said, "My quiver is empty. I don't have anything else to hunt with." He said, "With your feeding tube, we checked on this new drug because, you know, it's always looking for that new silver bullet." And my father-in-law was kind of that way. He enjoyed living. He was a member of the church, so he's in a better place now. But we do cling to life, all of us, you know, whether. And if you're cancer, the news today, very good, because cancer sometimes takes a long time. Sometimes it takes you very quickly. Just to kind of set the stage for some of this, my father-in-law probably had anywhere between 4 to 6 cracked vertebrae in his back because the cancer had wrapped around his spine. The tumors had done that. The feeding tube was there because he had a tumor at the base of his skull that kept the nerve so he couldn't swallow anymore. So as he's laying there and the doctor's going over all this and telling him, "I can't have nothing left for you that I can hunt with." And after he got done, and he had been pretty uncomfortable, his head kind of laid over to the side anyway, and he's kind of thrashing around, and I asked him, could I get you something? And he just said, "Time. I want more time." I said, "I can't get that for you." And so that is what brought on this topic of time. Every one of us has the same number of minutes in a day, same number of seconds, same number of hours, same number of days in a week until your life ends, same number of months in a year. So time affects all of us. We all use the phrase, "in due time, time will tell." We don't have enough time for that now, especially if you have small children. And we look at things from time. God invented time for man. He set the sun in the sky, and that ruled the day, and he set the moon to rule the night. And it gives us our 24-hour solar day and night. So as we look at time, and we look at the songs that come, and this will date me, the Rolling Stones once sang, "Time is on my side." So that tells you I was born sometime in the late 50s. And now they talk about how and what a drag it is getting old, because all of them are in their 70s now, and time was not on their side, because time takes a toll. A performer by the name of Jim Croce once sang a song called "Time in a Bottle," and it talked about in this song about this place that he could take and put dreams and wishes and take and put this time, because he never had enough time to do the things that he wanted to. Well, all of us have exactly the time that we have right now. There isn't any extended time. There is no overtime, as in sports. It's what you have right now and what you do with it. And as the reading in the first chapter of Ecclesiastes talked about, you know, it talked about, here is this man. God would give him anything when he talked to him. And he asked for wisdom. And then he talks about all the vanity that this wisdom brought about for him because, and you think, this is the wisest man that probably ever lived. But when you look at it, How much folly did he have in his life when you think about Solomon? He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. You think this is a wise man? And was a king and ruled. And when he looks at all of this and he looks at this, okay, here's something else that comes into the vanity that isn't mentioned here, but it is in the book of Kings, or 2 Kings, I think it is. But Solomon was the one that was to build the temple. The temple took 7 years. How long do you think it took to build his house? 14. So you see, somewhere along the lines of priorities shifted. So when he talks about the vanities, and he had all these things. Remember, silver became so common there that it almost was devalued. And it had become such a thing here that when you think of time, that when we look at time from the perspective, I no longer wear a watch. I worked at a job one time where everything was time. From the time I went to work till it was quitting time. Now, all of us know that we prefer quitting time over starting time any day because it's human nature. But when we get into looking at time, I worked on something called track and time. In order for me to work on the railroad tracks, I had to have track and time. So time and the welding process that I done was timed to the second. I wore a stopwatch, and you had to, from start to finish, it took this long to do this. Once you stuck the torch in there, heated up the rails, the pot poured, you had so long before you could shear it, or you wasn't getting it off there. You had to cut it off with a power saw. So all of our lives is affected by time, and God gave us this time to use wisely. So when we look at this first chapter of Ecclesiastes, and it goes through here, and mine is out of the old King James. It says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever." And one side note I would put in here of a study that was released this last week, the generation that took and graduated this year is the least religious that's ever graduated in the continental United States. They have no religion. So our work is cut out for us to reach that generation, because we know as people forget God in their lives, they become, you know, whatever I feel good about is what I'm going to do. So as these generations go and the things that I've seen in my lifetime change, I would never have thought. I know that the technology would come because when I was a young child, a computer would fill this room and they had all these punch cards. But when we take and look at the thing that now you can have my phone as a computer. So when we look at that, the technology has changed, but man really hasn't. He has forgotten his creator. "The sun also rises, and the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to this place where he rose. The wind goeth toward the south, turneth about unto the north. It whirleth and continually, and the wind returneth again according to its circuit. All the rivers run unto the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place where hence the rivers come, hither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that I have been is that which shall be. That which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It has been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come and those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therein. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight. That which is wanting cannot be numbered. I consumed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom, knowledge. I have gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of the spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increased knowledge increases sorrow. We must also remember that someone has great knowledge, it also comes with great responsibility. And then we get to chapter 3, and it says there is a time for everything. It talks about the seasons, it talks about the harvest, and it talks about the seasons in our life. Every person in here becomes a new person every 7 years, because that's how long it takes to renew every cell in your body. So it depends on what you put in your body, what kind of person you become, or what you put in your mind, what you become. So you are what you eat. So when it looks at this and the seasons of our lives change, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the sun. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profits has he that worketh in what wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he has set the world in it, their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good of them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat, drink, and enjoy the good of his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. That which has been is now, and that which is hath already been. And God required that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and every work. I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of man, that man might manifest them, and that they might see that they may themselves are beasts. For they which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto one place, all of the dust, and all turn to the dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than a man should rejoice in his own works, for that in his portion for shall bring him to see what shall be after him. So in Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter in verse 15, it says, as he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. Now, I'm someone that likes to kind of collect things. One of the hobbies that my wife and I have is we are pretty big into garage selling. That's where you have to keep building garages and sheds if you do that very often, unless you have a garage sale yourself. But many times when he talks about in Ecclesiastes about time, and as we gather these things, and it talks about whose shall these be, that's especially in the 12th chapter, what kind of man will take care of the things that you leave your estate to? The people that have them, because that's one of the concerns it seems here in Ecclesiastes is, will this man take care of this stuff? Probably not. That which is not worked for usually is not something that you take care of. Make your child buy his own car and buy his own tires and gas. Those tires don't squall as often, and they don't go quite as far. So you'll take care of that which you have to labor for. But when we look at our spiritual life here, realizing that each of us was born in decay. Think about it. The entire earth was born in decay, because just as we go through the seasons, since I grow things, when it talks about a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, it's talking about that there is decay, renewal, decay, renewal. You know, we go through many times in our spiritual life where we have this same thing. We sometimes stumble, we fall, we feel that we have lost our faith. Then we can have a renewal. It always opens our hearts up when we see new brothers or sisters come to the Lord, because this is a renewing. This shows us that there's still hope. There's people that actually want to hear the Word of God. We're not the only ones. We're not just gathering here to keep this kind of hid under that bushel, but we are to expand upon the Word of God and take it to them. In Ecclesiastes 9, 11, and 12, it says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. And I learned this from my grandfather, who basically, if he was out in the garden, he could be out there all day. It might look like he wasn't getting much done, but you couldn't keep up with him. So I learned that if I done that in my work, I would last a lot longer as I went along. Because the guy that usually comes in and there's just dust flying everywhere, pretty soon he's sitting down. But the guy that's steady at it will go all day. Because it says, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in the evil net, and the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of man snared in an evil time, then it falleth suddenly upon them. And that tells us that there is no sureness here in this world, because, you know, you can be the most skillful driver in the world and get killed in a car wreck. You can be walking across a room in your house, trip, fall, hit your head, and that's it. So what kind of manner of person do we need to be? When you look at God, who is our only constant, because there's only one way, there is only one Lord and Savior, one true and living God, and then we look at it and we seem to take it for granted. And then when people look at us, they see us take it for granted, then they think there must not be nothing there. Because we are the only Bible that most people will see. You are that open door or opportunity for them to spread the Word of God. So when we look at this, we have to realize that the wisdom of God is so much more than ours. You know, when I get into trouble is when I try to fix the problems in my family and my marriage and everything, because I can do it myself. That's when I realize how very little I really know. How much wisdom I have not acquired is when I want to do it myself and not lean upon the arm of the Lord. And as many of you know, that those two little boys that were back there making noise, you all say you enjoy it when my wife and her are trying to calm them down. But when we look at all that my daughter went through to bring those boys into the world, when a doctor kept telling her that, you know, you need to take this one, or, you know, you need to, her answer was, God put them there, he'll take them away. And if that had been somebody else, that probably wouldn't have been the same thing, because they kept wanting to take Alex because he was the smallest. But, you know, that's when you think, well, the doctors are playing God, and most people listen to the doctor. But here in Ecclesiastes, I found it kind of strange that I found this verse, because it says, as thou knowest not the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. And I think it is attributed to the prayers and everything that everybody done, because, like I said, if she hadn't been a Christian, she might have made a different choice. Now, when we look at Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, and I always think of John in the first chapter here, verses 1 through 14, because if you want to think about time, you always have to think about a beginning. And here it is. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same as the beginning with God, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of the men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which shineth to every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And that the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when we take that, and then we go fast forward to John, the fourth chapter, when he's talking to the Samaritan woman. Here over this time, the Samaritans had been worshiping what they know not what, and it's stated here, because they would worship in this mountain. But they really, you look at it, and they had parts, bits and pieces of different things. They had parts of the Mosaic Law. They also had parts of other types of religion. And they had, I guess, what we'd call patriarchal law still. And it all been kind of mingled together. Kind of looks like modern religion. It had bits and pieces of things and not the complete. But here as Jesus is talking to her in this fourth chapter, verses 21 through 24, Jesus said unto the woman, "Believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye know not what. We know that we worship for salvation of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." When we look at all that God has provided us in the many things, I don't think anybody in here is a pauper. Most of the people in the Church of Christ do very well. And I know there are some that are in need. But when we look out among our brotherhood as a whole, most of the people around this area anyway do very well. But they've done that because that's not their main focus. Because usually, I would have loved when I was a working person, and I've been home 10 years in July, which most of you look at me and that looks like pretty young, but that's a whole story. But I would have loved to have had a Christian employee. It would have sure made my job a lot easier. One year I had 28 different people that I had to train. Nobody wanted to come to Paola, Kansas to work. They all lived down in southern Missouri where the camp out is, and they wanted to work there. Well, there was no job, so they were up here with me. So training people takes a lot of patience, it takes a lot of effort, and it takes a lot of times just biting your tongue. Now, if we're training children, we have to do the same thing. I've always been told I didn't do that. But as far as training people, now, if you have someone that wants to know the Word of God, do you give them the whole book to read at once? Is there any way someone could digest this entire book, cover to cover? So we basically cover the basics when we do that, just as a newborn babe, so that they can grow. So as my time starts to come to an end, I try and tie this all together for you because time has value. And, you know, I can only give you as much knowledge as your head can take according to the seed of knowledge. So people get tired of sitting. They get tired of hearing sometimes. So when I look at starting to wrap this down, I'm going to look at 2 Peter, the third chapter, 1 through 15, which gives us a perspective on time. Because whether we are here and remain till the Lord comes, or something happens to us and he takes us to our home before, this earth, as many proclaim, is not going to be here. So when Ecclesiastes build up, tear down, build up, tear down, all this is going to be gone. A flood destroyed it once and the saving of 8 souls. Fire shall destroy it the next time. Being someone that worked with fire, I can tell you, I can show you how to melt metal still today without even much, but just some things in a file in your garage. So, and it would be over 3,000 degrees. Well, I could also take the stuff that I made those welds with. I can put it in a can. I can light it. I can set it on your top of the hood of your car, and I can make a perfect hole the size of that can all the way through the bottom. And it'll be about whatever the size of the can is. So I know what fervent heat is. And so when it talks about this world shall be destroyed with fervent heat, it means there ain't going to be anything left. Because sometimes fires burn so hot that things are vaporized. And there's just nothing left to find. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, explosions and all this. But no, things burn hot enough that it can just simply be nothing there. Except for the fact that you'll find some blackened ground that there was a fire. And when I look at this, I look at the power of God. When he spoke this world into existence, I know that when the time comes for this earth to end, it will end. And it will end with fire. And there will be nothing left. We are not here just simply the stewards that he's going to take us somewhere and then bring us all back after he gets rid of all of them. Because I'll tell you what, I garden, I do everything, I battle weeds. I want to be in a better place. I want to be somewhere that where it's paradise. I don't want to be on this earth. Because you read Ecclesiastes, toil and all these different things that's there. I don't want to do that no more. I want to be where there is joy, where there is no more tears, where there's no more sorrow, where there's nothing but peace. Because that's something that no matter what we do upon this earth, you will never find peace. There is always going to be something troubling you. And the only place we can go is to God. So here in 2 Peter, and it says it very well, because it talks about all these people that are scoffers in the last days. Well, it's been the last days since Christ was crucified. So we've been on borrowed time for a couple thousand years anyway. The second epistle, beloved, I write now unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. You see, we can't fathom that. Because none of us are going to live a thousand years. Most of us can't really think what a thousand years is. That's why I say God doesn't have a big wristwatch and go, well, it's time. It's on his time that we live or we die. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and with the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our own beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And then today when you guys were studying in Philippians, I thought, well, this would work pretty close to the end here. And then I'll end in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. But in Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, there's an interesting thing said here. And it tells us about how we should focus our thoughts. Remember, your conversation, of course, usually is used in the terminology of how you live your life. And it says, for our conversation is in heaven. From hence also we look for the Savior of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working thereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. And then in Ecclesiastes, of course, in the 12th chapter, it kind of brings things to a close here, because what it does is it says, this is talking about the end. Now, whether your days are long or whether your days are short upon this earth, they all will end. Your time will stop. There'll probably be some marker there at the headstone that says, you were born on this date and you perished on this date. And that's what the remembrance will be, unless you are in the Lord's body and people can rejoice in the fact that you have went home to the Lord. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. But when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be darkened, nor the clouds turn after the rain, in the day then the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few. And those that look out the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and the sound rise up at the voice of the bird, all the daughters of Menstruik shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desire shall fall, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosened, or the golden bowl broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fount, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanities of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as gones, and the nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from each one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh. So let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Remember, every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of God. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, if there is anything that you would like to bring before the congregation, or if you would like to place your membership, or if you would like to become one of our brothers and sisters in Christ, we offer the invitation to you as we stand and as we sing.